Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, November the 13th, and welcome to episode number 10 of The Beer Crate, the podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys need not apply. Coming up on today's show, we have news, the drinker's diary, we start the series on hops, we have a look at the Shepherd Name Brewery, quick tastings, and our Try Before You Die section. So, let's get cracking. News. And the Manchester Evening News are reporting of the new Grip Glass from J.W. Lees. This has grooves in the glass to make it easier to hold, and will appear in about 170 Lees pubs across the northwest. It's an interesting idea, but as someone that's never had a problem holding onto a glass, I don't actually see the point. Fewer than 500 pubs have adopted the 24-hour drinking licence since the change in law in November 2005. Although the official figures show that over 5,000 premises have an all-day licence, this has been skewed by the fact that most of these are actually hotels and supermarkets, with only 460 of the 53,000 pubs in England and Wales opting for the licence. Drinker's Diary. And we have three festivals for you this week, all on the same dates. That is, Thursday the 22nd of November to Saturday the 24th. These are the Great Welsh Beer and Cider Festival at City Hall, Cardiff, the Aberdeen and North East Beer Festival, which is at a new venue this year, the Richard Donnell Stand in Pittodry, and our first Irish festival, the Belfast Beer and Cider Festival at King's Hall Complex, Balmoral Hall. As always, details are on the website. The Life of Hops. Behind every great beer lies great ingredients, and the most easily recognisable of these are hops. Whereas wine is bought and sold on the specific variety of grape, so beer can demonstrate a variety of tastes according to the type of hop used. And, like wine and cider, some breweries will blend different varieties together, making a consistent grist to create a unique flavour. But whereas a single variety apple usually results in a better cider, it's not always true that a single variety hop beer are better, although many believe that to be true. The hop itself is a flower of Homulus lupulus and is used to flavour beer with bitterness. This balances the sweetness found in malts, in addition to providing a citrus aroma to the nose. It is also used as a stabilising agent to bind the different tastes together. From a health and safety standpoint, hops help destroy the harmful bacteria present in the beer, while still preserving the yeast, which is also technically a bacteria, but one that hop doesn't seem to mind. Hops are primarily used in brewing, and has been so since 1079 when it was first mentioned, so it's pleasing to know the whole hop industry is there for our benefit. So the counties of Kent and Worcestershire, in which most are grown, can thank us later. The hop resins have two main acids, alpha and beta. The alpha is used as antibiotic and used to destroy the bacteria and provide bitter flavours, while the beta contributes mostly to the aroma. Naturally, this bitterness varies as the alpha acid in each type of hop is different. As far as the brewing process goes, hops are generally added at one of four stages. Each affects the beer differently. Adding hops at the start of the boiling process causes the beer to be more bitter. Adding it 10 minutes before the end of the boil will add the infamous hop flavour to the beer, while adding it just 3 minutes prior to boiling, or once the beer has fermented, provides a hop aroma. Adding hops after the beer has been fermented is called dry hopping, and doesn't provide any bitterness at all, and just the aroma. This week, we will look at two types of hop. One of the most well-known hops is Fuggles, primarily due to its name, but also to its roundness. This hop was created, if that's the right word, by Richard Fuggles in 1875, and is used a lot in traditional English ales, often alongside Goulding's hops, which we'll cover next. Fuggles is a dry hop with between 4 and 6 alpha acid and 2-3% beta acids, giving it an earthy or grassy flavour. Being a dry hop, it can help bind flavours together, allowing for a more sensual drink, and it's consequently favoured by a number of the brewers of stouts and porters. If you're looking for a single variety Fuggle beer, then you can do worse than start with Whitbread's Fuggle Imperial or Macmillan's Gladstone Bitter. The other breed of hops known to non-beer geeks is the Golding's hop. This is smoother than the Fuggles, but is still as quintessentially English. It was developed in the 1700s in Kent, but is now grown in many places, including America. Consequently, there are several different names, depending on its geography, such as Cobbs, Canterbury, and Bramling. Goldings have a flavour and aroma that is more floral than the Fuggles, with citrus sweetness and fruits that make it more versatile, as can be tasted in the single variety beers of Hopback Summer Lightning, Hogsback Tea. Shepherd Name began in Faversham, Kent, in 1698 by Richard Marsh. At this time, Faversham was a port with a strong brewing tradition due to the local assets of quality spring water and malting barley. Consequently, people in the area knew how to brew beer right back to the 12th century, which meant the beer was good, but business was hard, as around the early 18th century there were 24 different brewers all competing for business in the town. Marsh's brewery was passed down in the family until 1741, when the maltster Samuel Shepherd took over. Seeing a way to increase his reach, his sons, Julius and John, started buying pubs in the area in which to sell their beer. They also invested in a steam engine to mechanise the process and put several horses out of work. The brewery continued in the family for many years, changing its name to Faversham Steam Brewery, Shepherd and Hilton, Shepherd and Mayers, and Shepherd Name, as various partners joined and left the firm. By 1877, however, this had settled down, and Percy Beale Name took sole control, and whose family are still running the brewery to this day. Nowadays they have about 370 houses, mostly in southeast England, consisting of straightforward pubs, traditional inns with accommodation. They're rarely found as high street pubs, however, opting for the local community clientele. Such is the importance of the brewery now that Faversham Tourist Board promote it on their website. As for the beer, Shepherd Name are probably best known for the keg beer Spitfire, which conjures up images of Churchill and wartime Britain. They also provide good bottle beers too, such as Early Bird and Golding Summer Ale. Bishop's Finger is also on their rota, the latter being named for the ancient roadside signposts that pointed pilgrims towards the shrine of St. Thomas à Becket in Canterbury. They also have a number of lager and continental pilsners on their books, including the Asahi Super Dry, Orange Boom and Kingfisher, all brewed under licence at their Faversham brewery. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Superbock from Unisa. This is a 5.6 bottom fermented pilsner, but it comes across more as a lager. It's pale honey yellow in colour, and is without a head. It does use unmalted cereal, so it is a little bit special in that way, but there's a glucose syrup there, so you never get a really bright beer. There's no real aroma to speak of, and 5.6 alcohol, I give it 5 out of 10. The Superbock Abadia comes in at 6.4%. Now, there's no real sense of aroma here either, and you get the same smooth syrup of the normal Superbock. It's a slightly fizzy with an enveloping light creamy caramel. The fizz lingers a little bit just before it dies, which allows the taste to hold in the mouth a bit longer. So I can give this a much improved 7 out of 10. Superbock Lemon. This comes in at 4%, and as the name suggests, there is an overriding lemon flavour. This comes with the syrup, which has similar strains to Desperados that we've reviewed before. But with this beer, you get additional sweetness and tannins which are not dissimilar to various whiskey beers. Now, in this particular brew, these tannins manifest themselves more as a syrup because of the sugar rather than any particular whiskey taste. However, because of this underlying sweetness and lemoniness and my particular love of fruit beers, I give this 7.5 out of 10. Superbock Stout. This comes in at 5% and has the same visual look as cola. There's a soft coffee cream texture here, with CO2 on the side of the mouth, which once it dissipates, turns into a nice smooth mouthfeel. Now, this is not a stout in the traditional sense of the word, and doesn't have a lot of extra depths once you get through this, but it is a very pleasant, dark drink. 7 out of 10. Oh. Try Before You Die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Kasteelbrunn from Brewery Van Honsbrouck. This is another top fermented Belgian beer, with strong barley malt and 11% alcohol. If you like strong bitter ales, but often yearn for some sweetness, then this is the beer to try. It has a full bitter mouthfeel, which is complemented by a long and lingering sweet aftertaste. This makes it a good dessert beer for most people, and a good standalone drinking beer for those that like sweetness. If the Kasteelbrunn is too fulsome or sweet for you, then you can always try the Kasteelblond, which also comes in at 11% and is similar but just as good as a solid blonde. The main difference being that it lacks the lingering sweetness on the side of the mouth and during the aftertaste, which you do get with the Brunn. The name Kasteel comes from the brewery's building in Ungelmunster, Belgium, which is, as you've probably guessed by now, a castle. It was built in 1075 by the Count of Flanders, Robert de Fries, on the ruins of an English monastery. But, being on a site of strategic importance, known as the Key to Flanders, the original castle no longer exists, although the cellars do date back to the Middle Ages. The current building dates back to 1736, and is still referred to as the castle, but lacks the military associations, instead being used as a place of hospitality. The brewery is a relatively modern creation, beginning around 1900, and still adopts a microbrewery feel, despite having comparatively mainstream success with the Kasteel and St. Louis beers, the latter being their brand for the range of fruit beers. Given the choice of the two, however, I'd go for the Kasteelbrunn every time, which is why it's this week's Try Before You Die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. Has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.